Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
From the land granted of our city in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 19th day of July 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll discuss the building heat in the Corn Belt with Don Day. He's a day weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. A lot of heat and a lot of humidity. However, Don thinks that this is a more normal weather pattern that will shift and then come back and then go away for the rest of the season. We'll hear that, and we'll hear all about the crop conditions from the state statisticians too in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, and Minnesota right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. September corn today at $3.41¾, down 15¼ cents. December down 14¾ at $3.48½, and the March at $3.57½, 14¼ lower. May corn down 13½ at $3.63. July down 12¼, $3.68. December of next year a dime lower at $3.76½. Soy complex on nearby August down 34¼ cents, $10.44. The settlement price there for the soybeans. September at $10.39¼, 35¾ lower. November down 38½ at $10.27¾. January 37½ lower, $10.27½. The March down 33¾. May down 33½. July down 32. Next year's November down 19½ cents. It finished at $9.47. Bean oil 28 cents lower at $30.66. Bean meal down $13.30 at $359.70. September soft red winter wheat 11½ cents lower at $4.18. December at $4.42½ down 12. And September hard red down 9½ at $4.10½. Live cattle futures in Chicago August contract at $110.20, down $2.25. October at $109.30, down $1.32½. August feeders at $139.55, down $1.62½. September down $1.70. They settled at $138.50, are currently trading there. August contract in the line, lean hogs at $77.35, are down 47½ cents. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For 100 years, offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the energy segment, crude oil is now trading August at $44.66 a barrel. It's 58 cents lower. Ethanol futures at $1.52¾. That's down 4⅙ cents. And gasoline, the RBOB, the wholesale price there, down $0.01½ at $1.37½. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.38¾ is ½ cent higher. And natural gas is up about 4 cents at $2.72⅙. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, 7 points higher, 18,458 U.S. dollar at 97.11. That's up 0.523. And the U.S. dollar, rather the gold futures for the afternoon at $1,332.30, up $3 even. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area tonight. Mostly cloudy skies, a stray shower, some thunderstorms are possible, a low of 72 degrees and a wind that's light and variable, a 20% chance of rainfall overnight, cloudy, a stray shower tomorrow, possibly a high of 87 with winds out of the south at 5 to 10. On Wednesday night, mostly cloudy skies early, then partly cloudy after midnight, a stray shower, a thunderstorm possible, a low of 72. And on Thursday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, partly cloudy, hot and humid on Thursday, a high of 94 degrees on a southwest wind at 10 miles per hour. Thursday night, clear and 75. Friday, 97 degrees, sunshine, high of 97 on Friday. And on Saturday, 97, Sunday, 94, Monday, 88, and Tuesday, 87 degrees. We'll have a more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. I want to take just a moment with you. I do this on occasion, especially if something in my life has happened that I think you may want to know about, mostly because we spend so much time together, both on the radio, and that I would recognize many of your faces from the meetings I see you at, sometimes three, four, five times a year. Some good news and some very bad news. The good news is that over the weekend I went to Branson, Missouri. Spent some time with Jackie and Jeff Fakes. Jackie, as you know, has been off the air for quite some time. She has been recovering. Should be back, I think, not soon, but she's nearly there. And the fact that we went there and actually stayed with she and Jeff at their home, I planned to be there through Wednesday, is really good news. However, on the other hand, some really bad news on my home front, and bear with me on this one just a bit. Earlier in the year, my wife's niece moved in with us. Rachel's 22 years of age, operates at about 7 years of age. She's been through a lot throughout her entire life. Had a heart transplant 5 years ago. This is a girl that is a true miracle. My wife spent about 25 days in the hospital with her earlier in the year. As Rachel's mother, my wife's sister was passing away. So this is the reason that Rachel was with us. Rachel had a pacemaker put in. She was doing everything right at our home. And she slotted in so well. And we loved her like a daughter. She passed away suddenly while we were in Branson there with Jackie and Jeff. And it is painful. However, the heart that she was given, she shared with everybody she met. And she made us love her in enormous and deep ways. And she became part of the family. And I wanted to let you know that she was with us, and that I'll put some details, at least a link on the website at willag.org, so you can find out more. I'm sorry, I thought I could get through this more easily, but a bit difficult. However, it's easier for me to work today than it is to be not doing anything. And as it happens, my friends are you, and a lot of the folks like Wayne Nelson that I talk to each and every Thursday. Wayne, of course, I have talked with a couple of times in the last few hours, and from I talked to him yesterday as well. So, Wayne, hey, thanks so much. I'm sorry, Wayne. I thought I'd get through that more easily, but I didn't.
There's nothing easy about that, Todd. You know, when special people leave us, why, it leaves an empty space, and sometimes empty for words and along the way. And when you lose a close family member, it's very rough. And children are especially hard to lose, as we know, both of us having done that. But, you know, back that wonderful memories and wonderful times, and all of us have been thinking about you ever since we found out about this late last week, and it's shared amongst all of the analysts out there. I made sure everybody knew about it after we talked about it, so a lot of concern and a lot of care for you and your family, Todd, and you know, our greatest sympathy in the funeral coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, thank you very much. Again, I'll post something, at least a link into the website. I haven't done that yet. Probably to my own Facebook page, so you can read. It's open. You'll be able to read something on it there eventually. Now, you and I need to talk about the markets. I didn't expect to do this today with you because, frankly, I was supposed to be in with Jackie and Jeff through Wednesday tomorrow, and then I was going to come back on Thursday again and talk with Dan Zwicker about it, but now I'll be not back with us live until Friday. However, today was a rough day in Chicago, especially for the soybeans. I don't think I expected that the soybeans would lose so much. What happened here?
Well, I don't think any of us really did coming into it. The weather pattern is similar this morning to the noon run was the same as this morning, and it put a little more moisture back in after the heat that we have through Sunday here. We've moderated some of the temperatures west a little bit, and we are also retrograding the ridge to shift back a little bit that way. So all of that thrown together, we've seen the big funds are using a lot of algorithm things that watch the forecasts very much, and we're not we don't know whether this will verify or not, but it sure looks like it will as of now. And then we hit technical points to the side, and as we went down through, we mounted up the losses today. We did hold in that above 346 range in the corn. We got down to 48.25. We come back, the last trade was around 350, but the settlement's got about 48.5. As far as the beans, the 1021, which was the retracement level there, we got down to 1023. So we going to close back about 1027.75. So we did hold some of the points, but will the continued market action continue, or will the forecast, will it change, will it stay the same here, is the big question mark out there, Todd.
Yeah, so I do have a question about this, because it's the algorithms that are moving the market, relatively speaking, or the funds that are using algorithms that are tracking the weather, and the weather forecasts come out often. Is it and there are technical spots in the marketplace that get triggered. Does this become more dangerous, more volatile in the marketplace? Is it harder for you and others to keep a more cautious attitude in the market, I suppose, because of the high-frequency trade, because of the algorithms and the way they move the market?
It's sure changed how our job is done and what we're looking at, and it does make it more difficult because a lot of times they might get the news just that instant sooner, and we've got a nickel drop or a nickel rise or 10 cents here before we even see the weather from some of the forecasters. That's made it a lot rougher on us along as far as that goes. A couple of the things, too, we got to look at the crop ratings, Todd. They stayed the same, but they didn't stay the same because as we looked at things, they raised the crop ratings in the larger states and the bigger producing states and dropped them in the smaller ones. So actually, it made it a little better crop than what we really think it was. So that was another thing. That and Oil World said that this might be the first year that we see a decline in new crop bean imports into China because the reserve sale beans probably wouldn't be replaced. So we're thinking that that might gloss them into the new crop, be a little easier than might have been without South America being available with beans now.
And a quick word on corn. It was down 15 cents in the September. December almost 15 lower as well.
Yeah, the big acreage, the crop ratings, everything about it, it was pulled on down by the beans. I think the corn would sort of like to really hold here around this 350 mark for right now until we can get through just a little farther down the road. Seen a lot of postings on Twitter and on some of the other ag boards that are talking about loss in nitrogen in some of these areas. Have been getting these 3, 4, and 5-inch rains, and that they might not top out their yields as good as it looks just on from the field here right now. But all in all, I think we're going to have a very, very big corn crop. Our crop looks great.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Here are some of the stats from yesterday afternoon's United States Department of Agriculture's National Agricultural Statistics Service weekly crop progress report as of Sunday. 56% of the crop in the 18 reporting states for corn was silking. That compares with the rolling five-year average of 46%. This week, 57% is in good condition. That compares to 58% last week. 19% is in excellent. Last week, that number was 18%. So the two add up to exactly the same as last week for the good to excellent category. However, just slightly better in its tilt in those two categories. Soybeans blooming now set at 59% around the 18 states. 49% is the normal over the rolling five-year average. 18% of the crop is setting pods. The five-year average, 13%. And the condition of the crop is really quite good, the same as it was in the previous week. 57% good, 14% excellent. Now, here are the statisticians from Indiana and Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa with updates from their regions.
This is Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Region, with the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 17, 2016. Timely rains this week were beneficial to crops. However, there were isolated reports of damage to crops and buildings caused by high winds and hail. Statewide, there were 4.5 days suitable for fieldwork for the week ending July 17, 2016. Activities for the week included cutting hay and applying fungicide to corn. Topsoil moisture levels were rated 15% short to very short, 78% adequate, and 7% surplus. Subsoil moisture levels rated 15% short to very short, 80% adequate, and 5% surplus. 67% of the corn crop had reached the silking stage, that's 5 days ahead of last year and a week ahead of the 5-year average. Across the state, there were scattered reports of corn reaching the dough stage. Corn condition improved slightly to 81% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 66%, and soybean setting pods reached 20%. Both of these soybean stages were 4 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition rated 80% good to excellent this week. Oat acreage turning color or beyond reached 91%, with 35% of the oat crop harvested for grain or seed. That's 4 days ahead of last year. Oat condition was rated 79% good to excellent. The second cutting of alfalfa had reached 79%. That's 10 days ahead of normal. Hay condition was rated at 74% good to excellent, while pasture condition rated 61% good to excellent. Livestock saw some stress due to heat and humidity, as well as overgrazed pastures in some parts of the state. That is the Iowa Weekly Crop Progress and Condition Report for the week ending July 17, 2016. I'm Doug Hartwig, Deputy Director for USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Upper Midwest Region.
This is Brad Summa, Director of the Heartland Regional Office, covering both Missouri and Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on the Illinois crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, July 17th. Overall, a good week weather-wise for much of the state, with a few reports of wind damage to corn from severe weather midweek. Spraying for weeds and insects are the major field activities right now. Statewide, the average temperature was 76.1 degrees, 0.1 degree below normal. Precipitation averaged 1.07 inches, 0.37 inches above normal. There were 4.6 days suitable for field work during the week ending July 17th. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 80% adequate, and 10% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 11% short, 83% adequate, and 5% surplus. For the corn crop, corn silking reached 77%, up 22% from a week ago and compared to 69% last year. Corn dough was at 5% compared to 12% for the 5-year average. Corn condition was rated 5% very poor to poor, 15% fair, 58% good, and 22% excellent. For the soybean crop, soybean blooming was at 60%, up 21% from a week ago and compared to 49% last year. Soybean setting pods reached 15%. Soybean condition was rated 6% very poor to poor, 18% fair, 59% good, and 17% excellent. Oats harvested reached 37%, a jump of 20 percentage points from last week. Pasture condition and range condition was rated at 7% very poor to poor, 19% fair, 60% good, and 14% excellent. Again, this has been Brad Summit with the Heartland Regional Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in St. Louis, Missouri, reporting on the Illinois crop progress and conditions.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with weekly crop progress and condition report for the week ending July 17, 2016. Strong thunderstorms moved across the northern and central parts of Minnesota during the week, limiting producers' opportunities for field work. There were reports of damaging winds, hail, and excessive rainfall leading to flooding in some areas, with producers still assessing crop damage. There were 3.3 days suitable for field work during the week. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 0% very short, 1% short, 73% adequate, and 26% surplus. Subsoil moisture supplies are rated 1% very short, 5% short, 77% adequate, and 17% surplus. Minnesota's corn acreage advanced to 51% silked. That's 5 days ahead of the five-year average and 3 days ahead of last year. Corn condition rated 82% good to excellent, which is up 1 percentage point from the previous week. 72% of the soybean crop was blooming or beyond. That's 8 days ahead of average, but equal to last year. 12% of the soybean crop was setting pods. Soybean condition rated 78% good to excellent. 61% of the spring wheat acreage was turning color. That's 10 days ahead of average and 2 days ahead of last year. Spring wheat condition rated 70% good to excellent. 78% of the oat crop was turning color. That's 12 days ahead of average and 5 days ahead of the previous year. Oat condition rated 81% good to excellent, which is up 1 percentage point from the previous week. 71% of the barley crop was turning color. That's 12 days ahead of average. Barley condition rated 64% good to excellent, down 4 percentage points from last week. There were scattered reports of producers harvesting small grains. 72% of the dryable bean crop was blooming with 5% setting pods. The dryable bean condition was rated at 68% good to excellent. Sunflower condition rated 51% good to excellent, which is up 1 percentage point from last week. Potato condition rated 89% good to excellent, and the sugar beet condition rated 86% good to excellent. The second cutting of alfalfa hay was 72% complete, that's 6 days ahead of last year. The third cutting of alfalfa was 13% complete. All hay condition rated 80% good to excellent, and the pasture condition rated 79% good to excellent, which was up 3 percentage points from the previous week. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Lemonager with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending July 17, 2016. Light showers across the state were beneficial for dry areas and a burden for the oversaturated southern region. Corn dough was 1% complete, compared to 0% last year and 2% five-year average. Corn rated in good to excellent condition was 74% in the north, 81% in central, and 61% in the south. Corn has silked evenly so far in all regions in the state at 50%. Corn continues to progress quickly with the warm temperatures. Wind damage from storms are still present in cornfields. Soybeans blooming were 56% complete compared to 46% last year and 50% five-year average. Soybean setting pods were 19% complete compared to 14% last year and 13% five-year average. Soybeans rated in good to excellent condition were 70% in the north, 80% in central, and 60% in the south. Some double crop soybean fields have emerged unevenly from either being in extremely dry or extremely wet soils. Fungicide and pesticide applications have wrapped up for most farmers. Winter wheat harvest has wrapped up for most of the state. Hay and pasture fields are beginning to pick up in growth from the increased precipitation and remain in good condition.
Our thanks, of course, go to the state statisticians for their updates of the weekly crop progress across the Midwest. You can hear them again anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. When we come back, we'll talk in just a couple of minutes with Don Day at Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, about the weather forecast and what he thinks it'll look like not only for the rest of this week, but how it might turn out for a good portion of the summer with the heat and the humidity. Back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
It's National Daiquiri Day. The cocktail was supposedly invented around 1900 in a bar named Venus in Santiago, Cuba, about 23 miles east of an iron mine by a group of American mining engineers. It's also St. Vincent de Paul Day, patron saint of horses. On this day in agricultural history in 1104 was the first Flinch Day. A married couple who can prove to a mock court with a jury of bachelors and maidens that they've not had wished themselves unwed are awarded a flinch of bacon that's half a pig. The origins of the custom are in Dunmow, Essex, England. details are not certain, but references to it go back to 1104. It has been a regular civic event in Dunmow since 1855, and it's now held every 4 years and is frequently televised. In 1814, Samuel Colt was born, an American firearms manufacturer. He made popular the Colt 45. In 1863, Curtis Marbot was born, an American geologist. He was one of the founders of modern soil science. From 1895, he taught geology at the University of Missouri, while also working for the Missouri Geological Survey and directing the Missouri Soil Survey. In 1910, he left Missouri and was a soil scientist for the U.S. Bureau of Soils for the balance of his life. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Don Day. He's at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Holy smokes, I don't know whether I'd call it a scorcher, but man, there's a lot of moisture in the air and it's hot, and I want to know if it's going to stay that way, Don.
Well, it really is muggy, and that's one thing a lot of folks are commenting about is, yeah, we're used to summer heat, but we're looking at a lot of humidity coming underneath this big area of high pressure that's spreading heat all across a large part of the country. You got to go all the way into the Pacific Northwest before you can find a place in the country that's actually going to be slightly below normal temperature-wise. The rest of the nation going to go through the hottest week to 10 days of the summer so far. This big ridge of high pressure is also circulating around it, a lot of subtropical moisture that's leading to that higher relative humidity around the backside of it. What we're seeing, Todd, is a pattern which we've seen before as we get into the middle to the end of July, where we get this area high pressure that normally does set up, and then it's going to make it hot, but it doesn't look like it's the type of high pressure system that's going to be able to anchor itself and stay put for the rest of the summer season. It's going to get beat down by a series of systems moving across the U.S.-Canadian border. One of those will move in late this weekend and early next week. And then about 5 or 6 days later, another one will come on through. So the high will expand and contract, but it doesn't look like we've got a permanent heat wave, but certainly episodes of normal summer heat. And with that will be occasional chances for showers and thunderstorms with these frontal systems coming through. And that's going to keep us from drying out as well.
Who suffers the highest heat?
I would say at least here in the coming days, the heat is going to really be centered across the south central and west central areas of the U.S. in terms of relative to normal, from the Dakotas south through Nebraska, Kansas, Texas, and across the lower Mississippi Valley into the southeast United States. Relative to normal, that will be the hot spot. But everybody east of the Rockies is going to be above normal temperature-wise for another week.
And does it stick around? Is this the beginning of something really bad for the rest of the summer, in your opinion?
I don't think so. I think we'll see this high pressure grow, get beaten down again. So there are more episodes of heat coming, but not persistent heat in terms of this setting up shop and sticking around for the rest of the summer. But certainly, we're getting into the next 4 to 5 weeks of the hottest summer weather, and this is exactly what we're going to see. This is exactly when we should expect it. Same time, though, don't think we're going to end up breaking any records.
Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day, of course, is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do recall that you can pick up a meteorologist each and every business day of the week. Actually, 6 of them, not just 5. Right here during the Closing Market Report, we start on Mondays with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse out of Chicago. Tuesdays, Don joins us. On Wednesday, we talk with Drew Lerner from World Weather in Kansas City, Missouri, and And on Thursday, we talk with T-Storm's Mike Tenora out of Chicago, Illinois. And on Friday, Eric Snodgrass is here along with Jim Angel. Eric, of course, is with Agrible from right here in Champaign County. And Jim Angel is the state climatologist right here at the Illinois State Water Survey. We look to markets and weather, and we hope that that makes a difference in the way you look at the agricultural programming here at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.